Last time we did lesson 7, and one of the last statements that was made is that, and the scripture that was quoted was Romans chapter 6 and verse 7. I'm not reteaching, I'm just giving you a little tidbit of where we left off. Okay, so we can continue tonight. I'm on lesson 8. Yes. But I'm just giving you a little tad of where we left off, so I can continue into lesson 8 tonight, okay? The scripture is Romans 6, 7. It says, for he that is dead is free from sin, right? And that's talking about us, right? When we come to Jesus, we're dead to sin because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. We're crucified with him, amen? But does that mean we're going to walk free, right? Even though we're freed, how many know there are many people, they're born again, but they're not walking free. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're born again, right? Jesus paid the price because of his blood, because of his redemption, but yet they're still bound. They're not walking free. They're still living like someone who is still imprisoned. They're still living a life that's frustrating, right? No victory, always being overcome, right? And so tonight we're going to talk about a key, the main key in the Christian walk to walking in that freedom. Amen? You know, Sean mentioned last week, it's like someone, they've been imprisoned, the cell gate has been opened, but yet they're still sitting in the cell. And how many of you, there are many of us that are still sitting in our cells. Years are rolling by, right? But that truth has not impacted our lives. We don't believe it, right? We have not come into agreement with what God has said about us. So we're still sitting in our cells. We're still bound by guilt and condemnation, right? So tonight, we're going into lesson 8, and it's talking about renew your mind. Renew your mind. And sometimes, you know, because of these struggles believers face where they're not walking in that victory, they're always being overcome. It's such a struggle. They're striving. They're wondering what, you know, why is my life so messed up, right? And they tend to think, oh, I must still have that sin nature, right? But how do you know that's not true? Like, what's a sin nature? You know, that tendency towards sin, right? But that's a lie from the enemy, right? Because if you are born again and you said yes to Christ, right? The word says that you are a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation, right? All things have passed away. And you know what? During this whole course, you might hear this verse many times. We need to be reminded that we are new creations, right? I am a new, you know, you get up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror, I am a new creation. That old man has passed away. I'm not who I used to be. Amen. I've been changed. I've been washed. Amen. That's the way we need to see ourselves. So the truth is, as born again believers, it's not our nature that's the problem, but our unrenewed mind. And let me just say this. A lot of times as believers, we tend to be very lazy. Okay, I'll say it like this. We come to Jesus, we're excited, he's our Savior, but we do not want to change our old way of thinking. We just want to be, and just give excuses, this is just the way I am, right? This is the way I've always been. Hey, it runs in my family. This is our nature, this is our personality, right? And that's your excuse for why your life sucks. Right? So we have to renew our mind. If we want to walk in what Christ has provided for us, what he did through the redemption on the cross, right? Deliverance, healing, forgiveness of sin, or everything that was provided, that salvation, right? That whole package of salvation. We have to get our mind in line about what he says about us. You know, we mentioned that when we should know this, that we are three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body, right? So in our spirit man, right, it's a new nature. Everything that Jesus is, our spirit man, right? But how many know we have a mind, right? We have that mind, that same mind that, you know, before we came to Christ, you know, was filled with the world's way of thinking, the world's system, right? And how many know the mind can be a powerful thing? How many of you would agree that whatever is in your mind can dictate how you live your life? That's true, right? However you think about yourself, whatever is in your mind, whatever impressions have been implanted on your mind, that's how you tend to make decisions, right? That's how you see life, through the mirror of your mind or whatever you see there, right? So one of the examples here in the outline says the mind can induce many responses. And one of the things, the examples that was given in the outline is about a roller coaster, right? I don't know about you, some people love roller coasters, but I hate them, right? The very sight of a roller coaster, right? And from my experience of being on one, is when my heart drops into my stomach, right? That fear. Remember the last time we went on a roller coaster, we took our kids with us, and my oldest was sitting right next to me, and she was horrified. She was holding my hand. She's not here, so I can say this. She was on the bridge of tears, you know, because we don't know where this roller coaster was going. And how many of you know that made an impression on her mind? Okay? So every time that thought of going on a roller coaster comes, you're going to feel those things, right? Same thing, like if your experience hurts in the past, right, because of something that happened to you, right? Whenever you think about that situation or your being approached by similar-like situations, those feelings are going to rise up inside of you, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me give you another example about how powerful the mind is. Our second daughter, Abigail, I mean, we traveled many places, been on long flights on the airplane. We never had any trouble. But this one time that we were on airplane, it's talking about a 15-hour flight to South Africa, okay? And we had some bit of turbulence, and Abigail started having the worst time on airplanes. The whole flight, every time you looked over at Abigail, Abigail would be, her face would be in a bag, right? Throwing up the whole time. I mean, she was like in torture, right? Because of this experience. Now, because of that experience that happened at that point, every time she would get on an airplane, and mind you, nothing happened, right? There was no turbulence. The plane was still grounded. Okay? You could look over at Abigail, and her face was starting to turn green already because that thought, that those feelings, all right, of what she experienced before was dominating her life. Okay? And there you go. You just like it would happen all over again, that throwing up the whole time. So I had a talk with Abigail because, you know, that would get me mad. I mean, who likes to see their kid tortured like that for 15 hours, okay? I said, this is not right. You don't have to be overcome by this situation, right? Now, some people say, oh, that's natural. Some people go through that. But you know, how many know we don't have to embrace those things, right? We don't have to live our life like that, right? So I say, Abigail, let's have a talk. I said, Abigail, aren't you called to travel the world? I said, how are you going to travel the world if every time you step on an airplane, you're going to be throwing up? I said, that's not good. That's not what God wants for you. He didn't want you to be that way, right? Being sick all the time, right? I said, could it just be too? It's all what's in your mind. So she told me later on, you know, she said, you know what? One day she's sitting on that airplane. This was when we were leaving South Africa. Right, so we had a 15-hour journey back. And she said, you know what, Mom? I made up my mind. I told myself, you know what? I am not going to be sick. I don't care. I don't care what feelings rose up. I am not going to embrace that. I'm going to be well. Right? I don't care. I'm going to be led by my feelings. And you know what? She took authority. Well, actually renewed her mind, said, no, this is not who I am. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I am not going to be overcome, right? But before she had a changed way of thinking, she used to think, oh, watch it now. I'm going to be sick now, right? I'm going to be sick. I'm going to throw up. right? But you have to renew your mind. And that's just a little story of something natural. But how many of you know that's the way it is in every area of our life, right? We can embrace so many things that are contrary to God's word. And it can make such a big impression in our life, right? And that's the way we approach everything else. But if we want to walk in victory, if we want to walk in what God has for us, right, we have to come to the point where we say, you know what? This is not who I am, right? Those old thoughts that the enemy tries to bring against us in our minds, say, no, that's not who I am. And that's how he operates. That's how he operates. He comes to you, you're born again, you're happy, and those old thoughts come. You're like, wait a minute, I thought I'm born again. And we have to recognize that's a thought from the enemy. That's a lie from the enemy. He doesn't want you to walk in victory, right? He doesn't want you to be an overcomer. And we're going to get on later. That's why later on I'm going to talk about we need to be in the Word. Because how then will we recognize that's a lie from the pit of hell, right? We have to get into the Word of God. So we have, in order to break this hold the enemy has on us, or in order to break this wrong system of thinking, we have to realize, you know what? This is not who I am. This is not who I am. I'm a new creation. I've been changed. I've been washed. Amen? Because of his grace, I'm supposed to be reigning in life. And that means in everything. Okay, everything. Not in just the big stuff, but in everything. Right? I don't care what things look like. I know I'm dead to that old sin nature that drove me at one time. Right? And that's dead and gone. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. And we need to remind ourselves of that. Right? We are changed and we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I refuse to submit any longer this old way of thinking. You know, we have to make that decision. Nobody can do that for you. If you don't like the way your life is going, it's not because of God. Right? We'll take a close look at ourselves and how the way we are thinking, our old attitudes, right? And if you want to see change in life, you have to come to a decision. You know what? Enough is enough. Okay? I'm going to change the way I think. Right? I'm bringing it in line with the Word of God. You know, you might experience, and I'm talking about in your walk, you know, you might experience all emotions, but the truth is, right, you're dead to that sin. But an unrenewed mind will keep wrong thoughts coming. I'll say it again. An unrenewed mind will keep wrong thoughts coming. Right? So if you have wrong thoughts, and how would you know it's wrong thoughts? Well, it's not in the Word. It's not what Jesus says about you. Right? As a clear indication, your mind is unrenewed in that particular area. Right? As long as your mind is unrenewed, you'll continue to operate the same way you did before. I said again, as long as your mind is unrenewed, you'll continue to walk the same way like you did before. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4. What happens when you are walking in an unrenewed mind? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." What does futility of their mind mean? In your own way, your own reasoning, in your own wisdom, right? You're not considering what God says. You're just going by what the world says about what you grew up thinking, futility of your mind, right? And verse 18 said, "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." So it's talking about when you're walking according to the futility of your mind, according to your own reasoning, you're going to be alienated from the life of God. Isn't that something? You're not going to reign in life, right? You're not going to walk in that abundant life that Christ has given to you, right? Because you're walking to your own way of thinking. In verse 19, it says, "Who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. And it goes on to talk about in verse 22 that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. And verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So you need to be renewing your mind. Right? Put it off. So a renewed mind is a key to overcoming. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. No, we know this verse, but yet I don't think we are really convinced of this verse. That this verse is the key to victory in our life. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I think it's Andrew that says it's the thing with a living sacrifice, it keeps wanting to get off the altar, right? He doesn't want to stay there. That's what he says, right? And in verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world. Now, a lot of times when we see that right there, conformed to this world, we just think about, oh, worldly things out there. But you know, anything that's negative is conforming to the world. Anything that's not in line with Scripture is conforming to the world. Right? That narrows it down, huh? Right, but I don't know about you, but I don't want to conform to the world. Because, why? I want transformation in my life. I want change in my life. Amen. I don't want to go around the same mountain or round and round. Right? I want transformation. Why? Well, it goes on to say that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? If you're conforming to the world, you're not going to walk in God's perfect will for your life. And what's God's perfect will for your life? Right? For you to walk in everything that he's given you that pertains to life and godliness. Right? What's God's perfect will for your life? For you to be an overcomer. Right? What is God's perfect will for your life? For you to walk in the plans that he has for you. Right? But we're not going to walk in that with our old way of thinking. Now, I'm not trying to be condemning, but if you've been in this thing for quite a few years now and you notice your life is not going anywhere, you're stuck, I think it's time to consider that your mind needs to be renewed. You have some old way of thinking that needs to be changed. Amen. This isn't something for us to get sad about. It's something to say, well, you know what? That's true. Right? I need to renew my mind. I've been conforming to my own value system instead of God's value system and what he thinks and what he says. I've been considering what everybody else says instead of what he says about me. That's why I'm stuck. That's why it seems like I'm going nowhere. Right? So we need to renew our mind. But that word transformed, there, if we look at it, it's likened in the Greek word, it's called, comes from the Greek word metamorpho. I hope I'm saying that right, right? You know, that transformation that takes place when a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly, right? Metamorphosis, right? Metamorphosis, right? That's the word, right? So a key to the Christian life is a renewed mind. We have to understand when a born-again spirit changed, but a natural mind remained unrenewed, right? A change took place, right? In the spirit man, the born-again spirit, you have everything that you need. Everything. This is what it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, right? Everything you need, you have God himself there. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 9. It says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So look at that. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Right? And where does he live? In you. So can we say we're lacking anything? No. Is Jesus lacking anything? No. Right? And the word says we are complete in him. Right? So here it is, we have that on the inside of us. Everything that Jesus is, on the inside of us. But the thing is, we're only going to manifest that life, right? That abundant life in our life to the degree we renew our mind. To the degree we renew our mind is what we're going to see in our life, right? We spend a little bit of time in the Word and more time in the TV or whatever have you. That's what you're going to get, right? Right? Whatever you put in is what you're going to get out, right? You ever talk to your kids like that? Well, if you want to do good in school, okay, you just can't study for 15 minutes and say that's good and expect to have good grades, right? And the rest of the time you're playing on your computer, playing games, right? You're not going to succeed, right? You have to be putting in more time into your school to have good success. Right? The same thing with the Word of God. If you want to see the life of God flow in your life, you have to spend time in the Word. Amen? That's why in James chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. What does that mean, receive with meekness? It means humble yourself. Come into agreement. You say, you know what? This word is the truth, not my way of thinking. My way of thinking has gotten me nowhere, right? Lord, I want your word. God, I want your word in my life because your word is the truth. And that your truth brings freedom. It brings change, transformation. But if you think, right, we're in point two and section C, but if you think you're just an old sinner saved by grace, right, that our renewed mind will impact your flesh and drive you to the old way, the old system of thinking. Everything contrary to the word of God. Amen? That's why we have to really, really understand this stuff. Right? That we are a new creation. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. It says in Romans 6 and verse 6, it says, knowing this, right, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, right? So here, in this verse, what is talking about? It says, our old man has been crucified with him. So what's going on? What is it? Why is it that we're still dealing with some of those old issues in our life, right? Those old things in our life that, you know, we're born again, but why is it those same old tendencies arising up, right? This old nasty way of thinking. Why? What is this? I thought I'm a new creation. I'm born again. What's going on? Well, we're not dealing with the actual sin nature, right? Because I'll say it again, we're a new nature, right? We don't have a sin nature if we're born again, right? But the body it left behind, okay? Let's go to James chapter 2 and verse 26. Let me explain that. James chapter 2 and verse 26. James chapter 2 and verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So it's giving an analogy here, right? How many have you seen gone to a funeral, right? And you've seen the person in the casket. Is the person still there? No, they're gone, right? It's what is left behind, the body, right? A shell of who they were, right? They're gone. Their spirit's gone to... going to be with Jesus, right? If they were born again, right? Same thing here. The analogy has been used here. Faith without works is that talking about, hey, if you say you believe, you're persuaded what Christ has done, it's going to produce some action, right? Otherwise, it's dead faith, right? Faith without works is dead, right? If you say we believe something, I'm not talking about faith right now, but I'm just putting that in there, okay? We say if you believe what God says about us, it's going to produce a corresponding action in our lives, right? If we believe we're healed, if we're laying in our bed sick, and we believe, yes, I'm healed, we're not going to stay in the bed. We're going to get out of the bed, right? Faith without works, right? Right? Okay, so getting back to the point, the first half of that verse, right? When our spirit goes to be with the Lord, it leaves behind a body, right? For a brief period of time, it still looks like the person, right? Before decay sets in, you know. last year my mom went to be with Jesus, and I saw her, right? She was gone. It was just a body that was left behind, right? And like manner, in our life, you know, example Andrew gave in the book is about, he said this coroner was dealing with his dead body. And, you know, sometimes after a person's dead and gone, there's some electrical impulses that takes place in the body. You see some movement, right, that happens in the body, right? Well, this guy, while he was in the morgue, the whole body sat up. I mean, that's kind of freaky, right? But that's how that body responded. But how many know the person wasn't there? There's some old responses, right, that was taking place, right? Likewise for us, the old man is dead, but it left a body, some programming behind. You understand what I'm saying? Some old programming behind, attitudes and wrong thinking. And so we need to remember the old man is crucified, is dead and gone. So we can destroy that body of sin. And the only way we can do that is through the word of God, right? How do we do that? That old tear down. How do we get destroy that old body of sin? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. All right, so we just talk about renewing our mind. Well, what are we renewing our mind to? The word of God. So that means we should be in the word of God, right? So when those old ways of thinking come, those old mindsets, the old ways we used to feel about ourselves, right? All feelings of rejection. And we know that's not who we are in Christ because the word says we've been accepted in the beloved, right? What do we do when those old feelings rise up? Do we embrace it? Say, well, that's just the way it is. Or it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. That's what I had to do, right? Because as a young person growing up, I was told many bad, awful things about myself, right? From people in school, you know, just awful. You know how the world is, right? Tear you down, call you names, right? And in Trinidad, I think they seem to be more brutal in Trinidad. They're much more open in how they do what people want to say, right, about you. So you can be walking down the street and someone doesn't even know you, but they'll call you names. So that's what I experienced as a kid growing up, right? So as an adult, right, I remember, to be honest with you, I was in Bible school, right? So we talked quite a few years. I was in Bible school, a young woman Bible school, and those old feelings started to rise up inside of me. I started reminiscing, right? See, I remember I told you the mind's a powerful thing. I started reminiscing of those times when I was a little girl and what everybody said about me, right? And then I started crying about the old things that happened about me as if it was now happening to me, right? And I had to make a decision. I had to say, wait a minute. That's gone. That's in the past. This is what Jesus says about me, right? It doesn't matter what all those people said about me. That's not what you say about me, right? Because that's what the enemy wanted me to embrace. Because as long as we embrace the lies of the enemy, we're going to be paralyzed in our own self-pity, right? We're going to remain a victim for the rest of our life. Poor me. Nobody loves me. I'm not trying to make fun of anyone, but that's usually the way it goes. And you stay right there. You never move forward into what God has for you, right? But as a result of renewing your mind to what God says about you, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, right? When the enemy brings those old thoughts to your mind, you can say, no, that's not who I am. You cast it down because that argument is coming against what God says about you. Amen? So that's how we get rid of that old body, that old programming. Amen? Another passage of scripture we can read is a lot of verses, but let's go to it anyway because it's really good. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. on verse 1. I'm going to read 10 verses. And it won't take long. It's good verses. Things we need to get our minds on. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and on things on the earth. That's renewing your mind again. For you died, right? Remember, we died. We've been crucified with Christ. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is adultery. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So it's saying that you need to put on the new man, right? We need to put it on. Put it on. And how do we put it on? Every time we renew our mind, right? That's us putting on the new man. This is who we are, right? It says the same thing too, and I read it already, that you renew your mind. I'm going to read that again, right? So we need to walk in that. And Romans 6:6, we go back there again. So the result is, when we do this, when we cast on every high imagination, everything like that, and we will not serve sin. Amen? Because our old man has been crucified. Now let's move on to Romans chapter 6, verse 8. And we're in point 4. It says, now if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen? We are dead. We die with Christ, however, living with him in that grace and power, which leads to that overcoming life, is dependent on what we know. Right? If we want to walk in that overcoming life, it's dependent on what we know. That's why it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, that grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of him. Right? The more you know. I'm not talking about head knowledge, right? I'm talking about revelation knowledge in your heart. Right? How many of you, if you're ignorant of what God's word said about you, you're going to walk around blindly? In other words, says, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Right? Well, if we're not in the word, how are we going to know it's the device of the enemy? How are we going to know it's a scheme of the enemy? We're going to fall in his trap every time. So it comes, we have to know what God is saying about us. We have to know him. We have to know God's character. We have to know how God feels to us. You know, that's part of renewing our mind. We have to know who God is and how he feels about us. That he's not mad about us, and we have to continue to remind ourselves that he loves us. Right? That when we're sinners, he came and he died for us. What love that is. Right? Remember we spoke about that? That's how much in love he is with you. He loves you. And how that his love will never fail you, right? But if we're not renewing our mind to that, we're going to get off track every time something happens. We're going to doubt God's goodness every time something happens that we don't expect. And we're going to wonder, is God going to come true this time? Right? And then fear and unbelief is going to creep in. And then the devil has us right where he wants us, right? But in Psalm chapter 1, let's go there. Let's read us these two verses from Psalm. It's talking about us here in verse 2. Right? It's talking about getting to the word. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. It's talking about the word here, okay? And in his law, he meditates day and night. It's talking about that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? Not literally day and night. I think we should have God's word on our minds all the time, okay? So we're always in the word. We're always meditating on the word of God. And what is the result of this? Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. That's abundant life, right? Right? Abundant life is not when we get to heaven. It's now. Now. And whatever, you know, the word says that God says about us, everything you put your hands to shall prosper. Where it comes in line in about what you believe and if it's in accordance with what God says about you. Amen? We have to be planted in his word. We have to get God's word planted in our heart. Amen? But if you're not established in this, you know, you're not going to experience that resurrection life, victory, and power that belongs to you. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 10, right? So we're reading Romans 6 and verse 10, and we're in point 4 and section B, right? It says here, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God, right? And from this verse, we see and we understand that Jesus isn't struggling with sin. Do you think Jesus is struggling with sin? No, he's not, right? And let's go on to verse 11. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we need to see ourselves dead to sin the same way Christ is dead to sin, right? You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, I think it's around verse 5, it says, you he made alive according to the riches of his grace, right? We have to remember that. He has made us alive, right? We place our faith in him, right? That old man is gone, has been crucified, amen? And we were brought to life. We were brought to life, okay? And that's who we are, and that's the way we need to see ourselves, right? Right? We are alive in Christ. Okay, we've been joined to the Lord. Amen. That's who we are. We're seated in heavenly places. That's who we are. Right? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. We're in point 5. So we're saying we need to see ourselves just like Jesus, resurrected unto a new life in God. And 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm going to read right out from the outline. It says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind or the same way of thinking, right? For he that had suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So we need to have the same mind like Jesus. Amen. That we've been our old man is crucified. We're a new creation. Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Right? We have the power or grace to stop sin from dominating and reigning in our life. Now, how many know it's not our own power? It's his power. Right? Because what is grace? His ability. Right? His power. Everything that he is. Right? His unmerited favor. Everything that he is only inside of us. Grace. Therefore, as a result, we have the ability to stop sin from reigning in our lives. Not because we're God, because God himself is on the inside of us, right? And we just tap into that by renewing our mind, right? Just like it says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, right? He's talking about, do not let this word depart from your mouth, right? Remember that verse? I love that verse. We should love that verse. Joshua chapter 1. I'm bringing you to lots of verses that we should know and we should keep it, right? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of the law, and it's talking about the word here, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Does that sound like Psalm, right? Chapter 1, verse 2, right? Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. So if you want to tap in that power source on the inside of you, right, we have to get into God's word, right? If God says you're blessed, if God says you're highly favored, if God says, I delight in your prosperity, but yet you're not seeing prosperity in your life, who should we believe? God, right? So what should we do? We need to get in God's word. God, this is what you say about me. You say you delight in my prosperity. You said you've blessed my hands. Amen? I shouldn't be living my life poor, right? I'm not talking about, okay, you know what I'm talking about, okay? I'm not talking, we shouldn't just be scraping by life, okay? And this is one little aspect I'm talking about, right? Because Jesus said he delights in our prosperity, right? If we're not seeing our lives, because we have an unrenewed mind in that area. So we just need to get into God's word about what God says about prosperity. I heard a preacher say recently, you want God's blessing in your life? Where's your scriptures? Have you been in your scriptures concerning what you're believing for? Right? We just can't sit there and wishing and hoping, right? We have to get into God's word. Meditate on God's word, what he says about us. Amen? And how many of you know it's not a magic trick, okay? It's not something we do one day. Okay? It's for the rest of our life. Because why? We want to have the same mind. Right? We want to be imitators of Christ, right? And we can't be in one day and out the next. Right? So we continue to be in God's word. Right? James 4:7 says, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Right? If you want the enemy to go, you want to be able to have the ability to resist the enemy and take authority in your life, you have to submit to God. Submit to his word. What his word says about you. Right? If the enemy is gaining ground in your life, it's because you have not been submitting to God's word. You have not been in God's word. You've been in something else more than God's word. Therefore, when the enemy comes, you can't take your authority. You're scared. You're in fear. You're anxious. You're worried. You're not in faith. Right? Because you've not been submitting to God's word. Right? So we need to submit to God's word. Then point six, here we move on to point six. And in this part, okay, let's read verse 13 first, and then I'll get into this little part here. Verse 13, Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Right? And in this part here in point 6 says, the law was not given to break the dominion of sin, but to give sin dominion over us. Right? Remember that, right? This, what did the law do? It strengthened sin. That's what the law did. It brought us under guilt and condemnation. It did not produce any sort of freedom, right? It imprisoned us, right? And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 56 says, the sting of death is sin, right? And the strength of sin is the law. So the law strengthens sin, right? And then in Romans chapter 7 and verse 9, the law made sin come alive. Right, so this is a little recap about the law, right? We always have to remember this is what the law did, right? It made sin come alive. So what was the purpose of the law, right? And this is a recap. We need to recognize that even though we might overcome individual acts of sin under the law, that sin nature was still there. So once again, under the law, right, before we came to Christ, right, even though, you know, you see some people that do good things, right, and they make good actions, right? If they did not place faith in Jesus Christ, how many of you know they still had a sin nature? Right? According to public opinion, they may be a good person doing good things. But apart from Christ, you still have a sin nature. Right? And point B, it says, we were by nature children of the devil. And the only way out of it was to receive a brand new nature, right? The key, right? Remember we talked about the key to getting out of that jail was placing faith in what Jesus did for us on Calvary. That was our way out. That was our freedom, right? He paid a price with his blood, right? So we can walk in freedom. And point C, it says we didn't produce our sin nature, right? We know how we got our sin nature because of what Adam did, right? Because of one man's sin spread to all, right? And the same way, we can't produce our new nature, right? Nothing, anything we can do, right? We have to receive his very own righteousness, right? Based on what he did, right? We cannot attain about any work we can do, right? We didn't produce it. It was received as a gift from God. And we find it in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, right? So for a born-again believer, that all sin nature doesn't have to have dominion over you, because you're not under the law. And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. If sin is having dominion over you, it's because you're not tapping into his grace. In any area, if sin is having dominion over you, right? And the truth is, as Christians, we all continue to sin to some degree. How many of you would agree with that, right? We're not perfect. We still mess up, right? Not because we have to, but because we are still in the process of renewing our mind. How many of you agree we're still in the process of renewing our minds, right? I mean, we're not where we want to be, but we've come some up way, right? But we're still in the process of renewing our minds, right? But however, if we, as God's people, if we're not in a place where we're always feeling condemned and under guilt, right? When we do mess up, what we can instead do is run to God. Amen? And this is the freedom we have as God's people. When we understand truly who God is and how he feels about us, right? That we don't need to stay in that place of guilt and condemnation, but we run to God for help, right? When we do mess up, right? And how many of us, that's God's grace. In Hebrews 4:16 says that we can boldly run to the throne of grace, right? Well, how many of you know, if we don't know who the character of God and how he feels about us, we can't run boldly to the throne of grace to receive help in our time of need. We're going to be scared, right? We'll always be thinking God's angry. Oh, God's truly done with me this time, right? That's what we need to renew our mind to who God is and how he feels about us. So we know that even when we do mess up, he's never done with us. Isn't that good? How do you know sometimes we're done with someone? I'm done with you, but not God. Man, he never gives up on you. He loves you. And he wants us to run to him. So therefore, if we understand God's grace and our freedom from the law, it's the key to breaking the dominance of sin in our lives. Amen? Amen.